take your Bibles, turn to the second book of 2 Kings chapter 6, 2 Kings chapter 6. Hopefully it is well with your soul today because God makes it well. We can recognize that he has all authority and power and can do mighty things if we'll just allow him to work in our life. If you're a person that writes in your Bible, you may have noticed I preached this probably about 3 years ago. I've been in the book of 2 Kings for about a month now. And just kind of rotating through those times. These are great passages for the believer. And so I'm going to preach one more week before I change gears and go back to the New Testament. But just recognize that God's got a good word for us, especially in the Old Testament, as we look at believers and how they dealt with different circumstances and how God opened their eyes and gave them the sense of wellness with their soul. So let me read to you out of the book of 2 Kings, chapter 6, verse 8, says this. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once or twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. And he called his servants and said unto them, will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet that is in Israel telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. And Elisha said unto them, this is not the way, neither is the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek. But he led them to Samaria. And it came to pass when they were coming to Samaria that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw. And behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. And the king of Israel said unto Elisha when he saw them, my father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? And he answered, thou shalt not smite them. Wouldest thou smite those whom thou hast taken with captive with the sword and with the bow? Set them bread and water before them, that they may eat and drink and go to their master. And he prepared a great provision for them. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away. And they went to their master. So the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the promises that you give us. Thank you for the hope that we find in them. Lord, I pray that we be mindful of you, that we would remove those things that would blind us, that we would see your power and your purpose for our lives, and we would simply fulfill that. Lord, I pray that you give me unction this morning to speak those things that are needful and necessary. Lord, give me unction to say those things with compassion. Let me, Lord, just say the things that would cause others to see you. Lord, I pray that you'd open our eyes, that we may again fix ourselves upon you and do those things that you will. Thank you for your promise that when your word is read, you will not come back void. In the name of Jesus, I pray, amen. Well, I heard about a wife. She called down from upstairs to her husband and says, do you ever have this sense of a stabbing pain all across your body, like somebody has a voodoo doll sticking it over and over with a bunch of pins? The husband says, no. Then the reply came back, how about now? Well, sometimes it feels like everybody is against you, even your own family. That is exactly sometimes how we feel, that we find ourselves, that it seems like the world is against us. Elisha finds himself like that. The servant of Elijah finds himself like that. But the good news is God has not left us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Hopefully in this message this morning, you'll recognize that in the world, you're going to have tribulations. In the world, you're going to have sufferings. In the world, you're going to have hardships and trials. It's going to be tough. But do know this, that if God be for us, who can be against us? And so that's the point this morning, that hopefully you understand that. Here's what the Bible says, or here's what we need to get from the Bible this morning. One, that the secret's revealed. It seems there's been a ceasefire in Israel against the Syrians. That if you back up just a little bit in chapter 5, there were some things going on there. But now in chapter 6, that ceasefire has ended. And so the king of Syria is now sending bands into the land of Israel. They're trying to attack them, trying to catch the king of Israel as he travels. And so these small bands go in and disrupt everything. And so we recognize that the enemy has a plan. So notice this, plans formulated by the enemy. Verse 8 says, the king of Syria warred against Israel, took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. And again, basically what this king was saying, that I'm going to attack these Israelites. I'm going to put myself in a strategic place, and I'm going to war against them. Recognize today that we are in a society that is being attacked by the enemy. 1 Peter chapter 5 says this, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. I'm telling you, we live in a time when the enemy is against us. Just as the enemy was against Israel, now we have an enemy called the devil that is against us. The Bible says in John 10:10 about this enemy, the thief cometh but not to steal, kill, and destroy, but I am come that they may have life and have life more abundantly. I'm amazed today how our society is kind of butting up with those things that are evil or we may even call the devil. Think about our trends when it comes to society and worship. Look at the music industry. All these things are pointing to an enemy that is not good, trying to captivate us. And so we have some plans formulated by the enemy, but also notice the failure of those plans. We need to recognize how God can help us during our times when the enemy comes against us. If you read verse 9 and 10, at the end of verse 10 it says, and saved himself there not once nor twice. In other words, when the enemy came in, Elisha was given word. He would give it to the king, and not once or twice was the enemy's plans thwarted. Not once or twice means many times that God helped these people to overcome those things. Now, you may sit back and say, I wish I had somebody to help me thwart the plans of the enemy. I wish I had a prophet from God that would send word to help me overcome those strategic plans by the enemies. Guess what? He has. It's called the Word of God. I'm here to tell you, if you'd follow the Word of God, 90% of the troubles that you have would probably be eliminated, because so many times our trouble is we go against the Word. We lead ourselves into lying and stealing and gossiping and hating. We are not doing the things that we should. And so the enemy has a foothold in our lives. God wants the enemy to fail. And so we have plans formulated. There's the failure of those plans, but now there's the figuring of the king in verse 11. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called his servants and said unto them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? Let me remind you, the king's trying to make these plans, the king of Syria, and after failure, after failure, after failure, he finally begins to say, somebody in this room is telling the secrets that I'm making, the war plans, to the king of Israel. Which of us is for the king of Israel? And so we need to recognize the Lord sends a sign to people, let him know that he is in control. And just for these first points, I just want you to know they're going to be quick and firing. So notice the fourth point of this passage. There's the foresight of the prophet. And verse 12 says, and one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. And so you got all this stuff going on. He's making plans. The plans are revealed. He is defeated time and time again. And finally he says, somebody's here is causing these things. And one says, Elisha the prophet tells the king of Israel what you speak in your bedchamber. So the Bible speaks about this close, intimate place, this bedchamber. It's a place of intimacy in one sense. And so that it shows us that God sees everything in every place. Luke says it like this in Luke 12:2. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. What I'm trying to say is that God knows everything that's going on in our lives. God knows all of our thoughts. He knows our actions, not just of our enemies, but also of us. How did Elisha know? Because the Lord who sees all tells all to Elisha. I'm just telling you, the reason I want you to understand that, because in our life today, we need to recognize there's an all-seeing God. He sees everything about us. I have found in my life that you can fool a whole bunch of people. You can fool the preacher pretty easy, amen? He's easy to fool. You can fool your coworkers. You can fool your friends. You can fool your family. You can even fool your spouse. But sooner or later, you're going to recognize you cannot fool God. God sees all things, even the things on the inside. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7 says, "But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or the height of his stature, because I refused him. For the Lord seeth not as a man seeth. For the man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." I wonder today, and I don't want to kind of get too far off the message, but what are we trying to hide from others? We can look at our lives, and I just want you to understand that you ought not to have a separate life from the church. In other words, you ought not to live differently on Monday through Saturday than you do on Sunday when you come to the Lord's house. I wonder, are we trying to hide different things? It may be with our language. It may be with alcohol and drugs. I was reading the other day that 1 in 8 people have a problem with alcohol. Let me remind you, that is not a good thing, because things like that cause you to do things that cause trouble in your household and in your life. We need to recognize there's a serious thing going on. 1/3 of the adult population in the United States has some type of opioid addiction there. I'm telling you, if you have a 10-day supply, and I'm just trying to warn you here, there's a 1 in 5 chance you'll be a long-term user. Why is that wrong? Because it ends up making poor choices that will endanger you or others. You may be trying to hide your immorality. I've quoted this stat before. In 2016, I just didn't have any newer quotes than this. In 2016, 4.6 billion hours of porn were watched just on one site. That's 500,000 years of being watched if you were to add it all up. You say, I don't do stuff like that. What about Snapchat and those other places that you see all those things come in? There's a multitude of social media that is leading us in the wrong direction. Numbers 32:23 says, "Behold, if you will not do so, you have sinned against the Lord. Be sure that your sins will find you out." You say, why am I saying this all today? Because the Lord knows, the Lord is here, the Lord sees, and He desires for you to live a different life. So what does He see in your life today? And what will you see on the day of judgment? The secrets will be revealed. Well, notice the second thing, not just the secrets, but now the surprise from the rivals. Verse 13 says, "And he said, go up and spy where he is, and may go and send and fetch him. And it was told him, behold, he is in Dothan." Now, that's not Dothan, Alabama. That's just in Dothan and those places. And so it's kind of odd. The king says, this guy's telling secrets. You go fetch him. Now, I wonder, here's the Elisha, the prophet that knows all these things about the king, how easily he could have thwarted that. He could have ran, he could have left, but he does not. And we're going to find there's a great reason why. And so we find that there he is on this place, that there is a compassing of the city, in verse 14. "Therefore he sent thither horses and chariots of great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about." That word compass means to completely encircle. And you look at that in verse 15 in the middle there, it says, "And a host compassed the city both with horses and chariots." You begin to look at our lives today and what we're doing, and sometimes it feels like the enemy has compassed us around, that he has circled us because he wants something to be happening in our lives. One, he wants us to be overwhelmed. He wants us to feel defeated. He wants us to feel like there's no escape. He wants to let you feel like there's no choice. I had somebody say this to me one time. "Well, you thought it, you might as well do it." No, that's the enemy speaking, my friends. That's the enemy. Don't let him fool you. The enemy wants you to feel isolated with no escape. Are you feeling compassed today with the enemy? It may be your marriage, and the devil has come to you and surrounded you, and you feel overwhelmed because of the marriage that you're in. My friends, don't give up. God desires that you persevere through that. It may be your career, and it is overwhelming you today, and you feel there's no hope. It may be a temptation or drugs or alcohol, immorality, of all these things that have surrounded you. Stay the course. The enemy always wants to make you feel like you cannot overcome. And so there's the compassing of the city, but also the cry of fear from the servant of God. And this is really where I want to camp out at. Verse 15 says, "And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, how shall we do?" So notice, he gets up early in the morning, and lo and behold, he looks out at all the enemies around him. Talking about starting out with a bad day. Have you ever woke up and lived that day like, man, I should have never gotten up? This is exactly what he is feeling like. Somebody said, you know, it's going to be a bad day when the worst player on the golf course wants to play you for money. When you go to work and find that the 60 Minutes news team is waiting at your office. When your birthday cake collapses from the weight of candles. And I like this, when your four-year-old tells you that it's almost impossible to flush a grapefruit down the toilet. Man, there's all these things that we can say, man, what a bad day. But I'm telling you, even though you may be overwhelmed with the enemy, if you'll just keep the course, if you'll just recognize what God wants, man, how good it can be. And so he says, how shall we do? In other words, this is looking real bad. Man, how are we going to make it through this? I'm telling you, we have a panic attack at times. We think, oh my goodness, there's no way out. That is exactly what the enemy wants in your life, for your eyes to be on the situation. But I'm telling you, the Lord wants you to keep his eyes on him and not that. We're reminded in Scripture over and over again about how people experience defeat because they focus on the problems rather than the one of the person of God. I keep thinking about in Matthew 14, remember that great story when Jesus is walking on the water and there's Peter, and Peter says, if it's you, Lord, bid me to come. And so Jesus said, come on, Peter. And Peter steps out of the boat, begins to walk on the water toward Christ, walking on water. But you read that verse, it says, but he saw the winds boisterous and began to sink. I'm telling you, almost in every situation in our life, we start out good, but the enemy sends something, and that we get our eyes off Christ and get our eyes on our problems or ourselves, and we begin to sink. Can I tell you about this young man? He cannot see the power of God. He can simply see the enemy. We need to recognize that God wants to show up and show up, that God wants to show up and do something miraculous. I've shared this again many times, but let me share it one more time. Remember little David? David goes to see his brothers in the camp and looked over there. There was David that is going to fight Goliath. There's Goliath way over there, and he's shouting, and he's carrying on. He's defaming the name of Israel and defying the name of God. And David's looking at this, and 40 days has been going on, but day 41 is when David shows up. David shows up with the power of God. And he recognized that Goliath is not too big, that God is going to help him never to miss. Sometimes we look at our giants and say, man, they're too great. And God's simply whispering, they're too big to miss with my power. And so this young man could not see and had great fear in his life. But notice this, not just the compassion and the cry, but now the courage from the man of God. Verse 16. And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. I can just see that young man for a minute. What do you mean, fear not? Can't you see this problem? Can't you see these issues? Can't you see these horses and these soldiers? How can you say, fear not? Let me remind you that fear comes from a failure to fully believe. Fear comes from a failure to fully believe what God has for us. How can you say fear not? Elisha knows something that his servant does not. Elisha can see something that his servant cannot. He says, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Elisha knows the power of God. It is clearly seen in his demeanor. In other words, you can just look at Elisha and look at a servant, and man, there is a stark difference. This servant who does love the Lord, who is serving Elijah, who's been in lifelong ministry, you may say, something's wrong. You can just see it on his demeanor that he is truly fearful. And yet there's Elisha. No fear, no trembling. He recognized something is different. I wonder about us. Can we say the same thing? Is there something in our life that helps us? For they that be with us are more than they that be with them. How about 1 John? I remember verse. You are of God, little children, have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. How about Romans 8, 37, 8? All these things, we are more than conquerors of him that loved us. Philippians 4, 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. John 16, 11 says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Romans 8:31, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If you go to Isaiah 54, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment shall be condemned. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and the righteousness of me, saith the Lord. I'm telling you, there's promises in the Bible today that we don't have to fear, that we don't have to back up, that we don't have to worry. God has this thing. So let me ask you, are you overwhelmed today? Are you feeling defeated today? Ready to give up? Do you feel like there's nobody for you or on your side? Let me just tell you, there is. It is the Lord. Notice what Elisha does. And so we go from the secrets to the surprise to the supernatural quest. Verse 17, and Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Notice, Elisha prayed for sight. He didn't pray for strength. He didn't pray for swiftness. He didn't say, Lord, I'm praying for a little .22 pistol to shoot my servant in the knee so I can outrun him so they'll catch him instead of me. You know the old bear trick? You shoot your or push your buddy down and you run and the bear get him. He didn't pray for that. He didn't pray for a weapon. He didn't pray for money. He didn't pray for wisdom. He prayed, let him see what is already there. I wonder for today, our greatest problem is that we cannot see what is already there. We cannot see what God has already promised to provide for us. We're kind of like the 12 spies sent to that great promised land. Remember, Moses sent the spies out, and the 12 spies came out there, and they looked, and they came back, and they said, man, this is a great place, just as you said, but 10 of them says, there is no way we can enter in. There's no way. Why? Because they saw the inhabitants of the land greater than the promise of God. And I'm telling you, sometimes we get our eyes off Christ and we see the problems in this world that are greater in our eyes than the eyes of God. I wonder today what takes our eyes off the Lord. Sometimes in our life, we don't see the Lord because of our glasses. We put on our cool glasses. Some of you teenagers, you're too cool to accept the Lord. You're too cool to follow His ways. You're too cool to do it His way. I'm telling you, you'd be blinded. You cannot see the power of what God's going to do because of your own desires. Sometimes we have it because of our education. We look around and, man, we're educated. And nothing wrong with education. Education is a great thing. It is like a sword. It helps you to cut. But if you're not careful, education will dull that sword. So you speak all the worldly ideas, and you'll say, could God do all this, or is this from evolution or something else? And so we get our mind off God and on the worldly things. Maybe it's immorality, or maybe it's, I don't know, these kind of look like transgender glasses to me, amen? I don't know. But let me tell you, I had a friend that went in that direction. Used to lead music at church. Used to be a faithful man of God. And then he got involved in stuff like this. And a year later, I was witnessing to him. Man, I said, what are you doing? And he said, you know, I'm not even sure there is a God now. You know why? Because he's afraid of judgment. Stuff like this. You put on different glasses and you can't see what God wants you to see. I wonder today, what kind of glasses do you have on that keeps you from seeing the will of God? Sometimes it's a glass of success we can't see because we want to do it our way. Sometimes it's science. Sometimes it's sorceries or horoscopes. Sometimes it's self-pity and sadness that we put on our glasses and say, woe is me, woe is me. I'm telling you, God wants us to take the glasses off and put on those that will see Him, those spiritual glasses that get past the lack of faith. I wonder today, will you open your eyes and see God? Again, verse 17 says, and Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses, of chariots of fire round about Elisha. Man, think about the power of God that was revealed. If you look in Matthew 26, Jesus said, basically, speaking about these angels, because I'm just one of those inquiring guys, well, how many angels were there? How many angels were there present to fight the battle for me? Matthew 26 says, Jesus said, "Thinkest I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall give me presently more than 12 legions of angels." A legion is 6,000, 12, so 12 times 6 for some of you that live in Stark. That's 72,000 angels, amen. Tremendous amount. How about Revelation chapter 5, verse 11? "And behold, I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast of them and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands." That is millions of angelic beings fighting for the cause of Christ. Man, Elisha was comforted, and so was his servant. Psalm 68 says, "The chariots of God are 20,000, even the thousands of angels, and the Lord is among them, and Sinai is in the holy place." Can you now see why Elijah said in verse 1 or verse 16, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." We need faith to see the unseen. Hebrews 11 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Show me a man that does not have faith to believe in the promise of God, I will show you a man that is fearful and failing to achieve what the Lord would have him to do. Let me read that again. Show me a man that does not have faith to believe in the promise of God, and I will show you a man that is fearful and failing to achieve what the Lord has for him to do. This servant was fearful. And I'm telling you today, if we're fearful ourselves, we won't witness because of fear. We won't serve because of fear. We won't give because of fear. We won't go because of fear. We will not live up to our greatest potential that the Lord has for us when we fear. That's why Elisha said, "Open his eyes." Elisha prayed for sight, and he sees those things and is comforted. But he doesn't stop there. Notice this, not just praying for sight, but Elisha prayed for them to be smitten. In other words, blind them. And when they came down, verse 18 says, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, "Smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness." And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Now you say, well, what's going on here? Why does he open their eyes? Why didn't he just point them to the heavens and say, "Lord, let their eyes be open"? Because sometimes you need a different lesson. Sometimes we need to be blinded. Sometimes we need to be stopped. Sometimes we need to be halted before we can be led like we should. And so Elisha says, blind them. Sometimes we need to be blinded to our worldly pursuits. Sometimes our eyes need to be closed to the lust of the flesh and the lust of eyes. And so they are blinded. So Elisha said, this is not the way. I'm reminded of Proverbs 16:25. It says, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And so, my friends, sometimes God stops us, halts us, so that we can be turned as we should. I wonder today, do you have your eyes open? Can you see the Lord as you should? Can you see his power and might and glory? Can you see his will for your life? Are you willing to be fearless in this world that we're in to do his great will? Well, here's the fourth thing. Not just the secrets revealed and the surprise of the rivals and the supernatural that was requested, but the success that they received. Israel will have great success, not by their power, but by the power of the Lord. Notice first the following of the prophet. Again, verse 18, we find that he smites them with blindness. Verse 19 says, and Elisha said, this is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek, but led them to Samaria. Now, he's not being dishonest here, but he needs to lead them to a point where they can understand who the Lord is. They need to understand who the power is, and it's not them, but it is God in heaven who resides there. And so it says in verse 20, it came to pass that when he came into Samaria, that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes. Again, they needed to see something they didn't see before. They needed to see that they were overwhelmed and overpowered by the Lord himself, and that they could not advance on this place without the Lord's blessings. And so I'm telling you, in our life, sometimes God blinds us, sometimes God stops us, sometimes God halts us, that we may understand a little bit the power of God. Leads them to Samaria, leads them to a place where they needed to see. The Lord opened their eyes, and notice verse 21, and the king said unto Israel, unto Elisha, when he saw them, my father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? And he's going to say, no. No, feed them. So we go from following the prophet to the feasting of the prisoners. There could have been revenge and resentment, but let me just tell you, if he wipes out this small band, there's another one coming tomorrow. If he wipes out this particular group of military men, there's another one coming tomorrow. I'm telling you, God's got a plan, and it's not our plan, but it is the best plan. So he says, feed them. I keep thinking he must be this idea about smiting them and smiting them. It's kind of like us. You know, some of them, we read that I think it's in Psalms 58 or maybe it's 58, that imprecatory prayer, Lord, kick their teeth out, break their teeth. That's our prayer sometimes. That is not what we should be doing. Romans says this in Romans 12, 19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto the wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay. Avenge not yourselves. Why? Because God has a plan. If the king of Israel would have killed those soldiers of Syria, there'd been more again, as I've already said, the next day. God has a greater plan. So let me remind you that God's called us to be a different people. He's called us to love those around us, not to hate our enemies, but to pray for them and lift them up. I'm telling you, God did the same for us in our life, that we were yet enemies. God loved us, and he wants us to help us to share that to those same people. But notice the last thing, not just the following and the feasting, but now the finale of the enemy. If you read the end of verse 23, it says this, or let me just read the whole verse. And he prepared a great provision before them, and when they'd eaten and drunk, he sent them away, and they went to their master. So the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. Can you see the enemy standing there, their eyes finally open, recognize the hope, but this is not good. How do we get here? And then the light bulb goes off. Their God led us to this place, and now they're releasing us. Oh, my goodness, what a power that resides in this place. The enemy comes no more into that in that land. You say, well, read the next verse. They come right back. No, listen, my friends. The enemy can no longer send the little bands. He can no longer do those little things. He can no longer be the aggravation of the king. Yes, he's going to keep on fighting, but in a different way. Let me remind you that God does the fighting in the little ways and the big ways. We're called to fear not. We're called to simply do right and be faithful. They don't come back as they did once again. So I wonder today, how is your life? Does the Lord have it completely? Have you trusted him with all these things? If not, why not today? I'm going to tell you in a few minutes, you're going to leave this house in one of three ways. You're going to be like the enemy because you don't know God. You're attacking, you're fighting, you're sending bands, you're doing everything you can to disrupt others around you. You're like the enemy. Maybe that can be changed today by calling on Christ. Secondly, you may be like the servant of Elisha. You may be a strong believer in one sense, doing godly things. But man, there is fear in your life. You are worried about everything. The enemy is around you, and you know it, and it just kind of chokes you down. How shall we do? That's your operandus modum there. How shall we live? How shall we overcome? Or maybe you're like Elisha. Fear not, for they that be with us are greater than they that be with them. I want you to know that God wants you to be like Elisha. He says, when troubles and trials venture our way, when life is overwhelmed from day to day, open our eyes and let us see the angels that watch over you and me. Let us not fear those that put us down, but only fear him that wears a crown. He is the Father who lives above and sends us help on wings of love. God's got this. I wonder, will you see him today? Trust him and allow him to work in your life. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes just for a moment. Oh, maybe today you're here and you are troubled on every side, overwhelmed. The enemy seems to have your number. It seems moment by moment he is surrounding you and choking you down. Oh, my friends, let me encourage you like Elisha did. Open your eyes and see the Lord. He wants you to see the power. He wants you to see the help. He wants you to be an overcomer. He wants you to be more than conquerors through him that loved us, the Bible says. I wonder this morning, would you put the Lord first? Would you trust in him? Would you have him open your eyes that you may see him clearly and completely? that you may be victorious in the cause of Christ. Maybe here today for the first time, you need to ask Christ to save you. Why not walk that aisle and say, Brother Paul, I need Jesus. Maybe you've gotten off track. Why not come to this altar and pray? Maybe it's church membership and you want to come and be a part of us. Why not come today? Why not come to this altar and pray for somebody that you know is in need, that is in great fear, that is in a panic mode, asking for their eyes to be opened, that they may have the peace of God that passes all understanding. God's called us to be Elisha, not just to be fearless ourselves, but to help others as well, to point them to Jesus that can do all things. God's calling. I wonder what we answer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. Thank you for the word that you give us. Open our eyes that we may see, O Lord. See your power and see your will. Then help us to be fearless to simply do that. Help us now in the name of Jesus again. We pray all this. Amen.
Would you stand, please?